Hey, yo, and here we go. Welcome to another episode of We Talk Music. I am your host, Mr. Brett Podcast, and I am truly happy and honored to be joined by a wonderful, wonderful singer. He is a Grammy-nominated singer. He is Kenny Lattimore. Kenny, how are you?
Hey, I'm good. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, you know, like I say, I'm really happy to have you on the show. I mean, 20 years in the music industry, it's a long time. 10 albums now. I mean, by the time this comes out, the 10th album will be released. I'm talking Here to Stay. Mm-hmm. I mean, what a great album title, because you're proving that you are here to stay.
Oh, well, I appreciate that. I've got to give credit to the my partner over at SRG, Claude Villani, who came up with that title. And we were sitting one day and we were thinking about what is this album going to be called? And he immediately said, what do you think of Here to Stay? And I said, you know what? I love it because of like, you mentioned the longevity. We've been here a really long time. But in addition to that, I'm committed to the messages of love that are here to stay, that never go out of style. And I'm just excited that I can still be a part of this great industry after all of these years.
So then what do you attribute your longevity to? I mean, obviously your voice is spectacular.
Thank you.
And I want to talk a little bit about that later, but like just overall the longevity of your career.
You know, I've just been really blessed. I cannot say that there's one thing. I think that making love the center of my message and that being a constant, I think helps, because if you were 10 years old when For You came out, 25 years later, you know, you're 35 and you might be getting married and falling in love or whatever, having children, and the message still relates. It's still relevant. Other than that, I think I would say it's because of my commitment to collaboration. I love working with young writers and producers, and I think they've helped to keep me relevant in terms of my sound. They've challenged me to step outside of my comfort zone and not just do what we thought of traditional R&B to be, but to keep evolving with contemporary R&B.
So then, of course, the new album, and I'm really intrigued by that, the new album. How did that happen to you in the new album?
In the new album, there's a great guy named Dracar Madison Wesley. Madison is his stage name because he's a great artist as well, but he's a phenomenal producer. We were working on just doing music. We've actually been working for several years. He did a song called Love Me Back for me, for my album Anatomy of a Love Song. That was a top 10 song. He did another song called Stay on Your Mind, which was a top 10 for my Vulnerable CD. He did a song called Be Here, which was a top 10 for Boney James and me not too long ago. And I was like, you know what, guy, this is a project that could really be a great showcase for you. And showcase not only your great writing ability and production ability, but you hear him singing some backgrounds and stuff as well. And he's arranging vocals on this project. And I wanted him to use this as a launch pad so that it would be a way of me giving to the next generation of R&B music.
Wow. Yeah. I sensed a real theme there. It's like top 10.
Yeah. So, that guy, he was really good. I was like, you know what? You deserve a platform because it's so different now. I mean, I came up in an era where a record company would discover you and they would, you know, spend tons of money marketing and promoting and making sure that the world did hear you. And it's like, okay, that still happens for some, but for even less now, I think we have this great technology that allows us to put music out through the internet and all. But in terms of people really having that exposure where we were on television, we had commercials, we had videos, we had so much. Sometimes I feel for the artists today because they're missing the marketing machines that we so easily had back in the day. But, you know, somebody's going to continue to keep this music going. And I always tell Madison, you know, it may be frustrating at times because the music business is so, the business part is so heavy in the music as opposed to the creative, but somebody is going to still break through. Why not be you?
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. You know, talent always finds a way
is the thing I found.
Yeah. Now, who are those people that kind of mentored you back when you were starting out the same way that you're trying to do now?
Wow. I had a great guy, Michael Malden, who was the president of Columbia Music at the time of my first CD. He's Jermaine Dupri's father. He taught me a lot. There are a couple of other executives that worked under him that I really, I guess, can say cut my teeth on in terms of really understanding what the business was. It was a lot more complicated than I thought, but they really sat and walked me through that whole process during my first project, and then gave me an opportunity on my second CD, second album, From the Soul of Man, to even get deeper into the process with the writing and production. So those two Columbia records, the Kenny Lattimore record and the From the Soul of Man record, I think were really the foundation for me understanding how the whole thing truly, truly worked.
Yeah, I think that's, I mean, I know we've talked to a lot of musicians in our time with this podcast, mm-hmm. and I think it's one of those cases that, like, the business itself is, I mean, besides the fact that it evolves day in and day out, it's so hard to learn that I think that you need that cluster of people around you, or because you can get chewed up and spit out just oh so fast.
Absolutely, absolutely. And then on the creative side, I mean, I grew up taking voice lessons. And there's a teacher, Barbara Baker, who I studied with, and I sang 9 different languages, and I really got into various genres of music. And sometimes that helps as well, because it broadens your whole perspective about the music industry, so that you're not just so focused on, oh, I've got to just sell this one record. But a lot of times I try to tell young up and coming artists, continue to love what you do. It's so important that you remain passionate beyond the business for your sanity, because sometimes chasing the business can just drive you crazy. It really can. And then you start to say, why did I do this in the first place? Because there was a love, there was a passion for it. So there are times when you have to remind yourself of that, or come back to that starting place, and it gives you a new spark.
Well, and especially, you know, again, like you said earlier, you talked about how the business has changed so much. I think it's that passion, it's that spark that has to keep you going. Absolutely. when you don't have the millions of dollars behind you that you used to have.
Absolutely. And I've gone through all of the ups and downs, and ups again and downs again and ups again. And, you know, thank God we're on an up period right now. But I've gone through enough of it to truly understand that you can ride that wave and have the success, and you can enjoy every moment of it. But, you know, being a business person and expanding outside of just the R&B helped me, so that there were times when I did more smooth jazz, or there were times when I acted and did plays and that were traveling around the United States or what have you. And eventually then things got back to a respect for me as a recording artist and for the record again. So it's such an interesting life that I've had to look back on, and thinking about all of the different stages that I've gone through. Of course, don't have any regrets, wouldn't change a thing, but I hope that my journey does inspire other artists, because I wasn't one of those people who just shot to the top because I was with one record company and they kept marketing me forever and I became a legend or whatever. I'm one of those guys that probably should not have had a career necessarily, because I was at maybe 10 different major labels. And every single time that you start a project with a new label, it's like you're literally at the beginning of your career. You have people discovering you for the first time. They kind of know your legacy, but they really don't. And then they're also, the executives a lot of times are trying to make a decision about who they think you should be in order for them to make their dollars back. So that can be very detrimental when you're trying to grow as an artist. And some people used to say, why did you do so many cover albums? And but a lot of it was that. There was a time in the mid, was around two, somewhere between 2005 and 2010, that I felt lost, that I had lost myself. And I needed to just do the cover songs to hear my own voice. I needed to hear the sound that I could produce, along with studying the greats like Marvin Gaye and Nat Cole and Elton John and Jeff Buckley. And I remember when I did my Timeless CD during that time period, I kind of lost my own voice. And I was trying to rediscover that. And I did rediscover it, but it took me just stepping outside of the creating of new music and going into the B-sides of records that I hadn't focused on before.
Well, and isn't that just kind of rediscovering the passion, just not of not necessarily of your music, but of great music?
Of great music in general, yeah. And I know the people, some people didn't like it. Some people were like, well, we don't like it, but there's something here that's good and blah, blah, blah. But you know what? That was a time period where it was like, hey, I'm on my own journey. And everything that I do, I think now I'm making more music for my fans than I ever have. In the beginning, I was a little more self-indulgent. When you're trying to figure it out, you're like, oh, I was definitely more self-indulgent. But again, I'm glad I took that time creatively for myself. And it was a safer way to heal from some of the bumps I had had in the industry and to grow, for sure.
Yeah, and I mean, some of your covers are spectacular. Like I'm thinking of from Vulnerable, One More Night.
Mm. Oh, wow. Oh, thank you.
That's just one of my favorite versions of that song, period, I gotta say.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Just love it. But how important is it to have, you know, the support of your family, you know, your wife, your son, stuff like that, went on this, the roller coaster journey?
Wow, that's essential, because you spend so much time away from your family. And they have to understand what's going on, or it will become, the music industry will become a point of contention in your relationship, for sure. As I matured, I understood that I needed to be intentional a lot with regard to my time and making sure that I spent time with my family, that we were creating moments, because it definitely takes you away from everybody and into like a bubble sometimes. So they had to understand my passion and dream. And even with my wife now, she is still learning about the music industry. But one of the wonderful things I was able to do when you have success and have a legacy, thank God, I was able to take her on the road in celebration of her book, Sis Don't Settle. I was like, well, I'll do a concert. You can do a conversation. We'll do something together that promotes love, promotes self-value, and how to be your best going into a relationship. That was our focus. But for us, it also created this moment in time where she could actually see, oh, this is really what he's doing. So if there's ever a time when the mind wanders, because it does from time to time, if I'm on the road and she's thinking, I wonder what he's doing right now. You know, oh man, she's been on the road with me. So she knows exactly what it's like, you know, so it's not like she has to completely speculate.
Oh yeah, I can't imagine how difficult that would be, you know, just at a normal time, but especially early going in the relationship, like that would just be so difficult to just constantly, because this is your career and it's your passion. And at the same time, you know, your loved ones don't want to take that away from you.
Yeah, they don't want to take it away. And I would take my son on the road with me as well. I remember going out doing dates with Dave Koz. I remember taking my son to Africa and letting him see, okay, this is what it's like. This is what it's like performing at an intimate venue. This is what it's like performing at a stadium. This is what the frenzy's like, security's like, you know, just the whole process, because it's pretty interesting. It can be completely overwhelming, but I thought what was interesting is that I could show him various sides of it, because depending on where I am in the world, the music is bigger, or so the venues and everything change, or the crowds are different based on the type of music I decide to sing at that moment. There's less frenzy if I'm singing jazz, because a more sophisticated audience comes out and they're really heavily into the music, where their approach to me is just different than the R&B crowd comes and they're like, oh my God. I tried to show all of those different sides and tell my son, this is what the industry is. But it's interesting because, of course, with me being a part of this, he wants to be a part of the music industry. So I have him in school studying business. so that he can appreciate it all.
Wow. Wow, that's amazing. Now, I mean, you talked about your vocal teacher, and I wanted to talk about your voice. Like, what is it, you know, what is it that you attribute your, you know, how good your voice sounds now? Oh, wow. What do you do to keep it up?
You know, I first of all, sleep.
I've heard that. Oh.
Sleep is my best. Oh, a good 8 hours will do it. I learned that this is just a muscle. And if I treat it as such, like if your legs, if you had to run, you're going to make sure that you're massaging the muscle. I massage these vocal cords. When I have concerts and sing and everything, the muscle memory kicks in if I'm singing night after night at a certain hour, a certain time. But I try to use some of the techniques in classical music that I learned and in singing the American Songbook that will help me to focus so that I don't tear at the vocal cords, because I also come from gospel music. I've done so many different genres. Sometimes you can just overwork the muscle and you have to really be careful to stop. Sometimes you need to be on vocal rest after you've done several shows and just not talk. I do the sipping of hot water and honey for coating and making sure that the vocal cords rub together. And have their friction without drying out. I think those are fairly simple things, but they're things that I'm very conscious of. And I've just been blessed that I didn't do so much that I put so much strain on my voice through the years, nor did I damage anything, which people again can do, just from the adrenaline of singing. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you get out and you're like, I want to show everybody that I'm great. And I used to be that guy. That was one of the things that I learned, is I needed to calm down at times in the beginning of my career. But I don't go out and try to show out that I can do this, I can do that, and do things that would hurt my vocal chords.
Wow. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's so important. And
it's just staying, it's just like working out, and you stay in tune to your body. There are certain songs, I tell you, Pressure from the new album is one that when I start to rehearse these songs, I have to find out where is it placing in my body, not just here, but how does my body support the sound of this song so that I can perform it and have fun with it and it can feel effortless. And sometimes it takes weeks of singing it over and over again in different atmospheres. Having your ears, like I have on ear monitors right now that I'm listening to you with. These are so important to saving the voice as well. Because when you're on microphones, if you can't hear, you're going to oversing to try to project out, because you can't hear yourself and you begin to think that the audience can't hear you. And you're like, oh, but this microphone is supposed to be your lifesaver so that you don't have to project too much. That's one of the ways that we damage our vocal cords as well. But when we have great monitors, it's a whole game changer.
Wow. Now, I mean, you bring up Pressure, and I know that we're running out of time here, but you bring up Pressure. Such a fun song. It's a great groove to it. but like, how do you choose the songs? Like, at what point do you say, like, that's it? That's my song.
Wow. I just have to feel something with it. But I have to admit too that there are times when Madison will come to me and he'll give me a song and I'll say, I'm not sure. There's a song on here that I was like, this is pretty good, but I'm not sure how this is going to turn out. Because the melodies were different and I'm used to a melody that is the same repetition over and over again. Oh yeah, sing song. And now in this generation, the melodies on the verses are a lot of times different. The hook may be the same, but it's just a whole different way of approaching the song. I had to just sit down and be a student at times and not just choose it based on what I liked for me in general, but I had to challenge myself and say, let me try to put my voice on it and then listen back to it later. So we did a song called Take a Dose. And I said, oh, okay. My most experimental song on this album is Lose You. Mm-hmm. So I was like, okay, let me go in and let me try. But Madison will do a demo of it first. And I'll listen to it and I'll say, oh yeah, I can hear me singing this. And then I'll go into the session. But we listen, we listen back. And if it's translating the way we think it is, that's when we actually make the decisions, usually after we've recorded, that we go, okay, this is worthy to be on the album.
Right. Now, I mean, Lose You has that great moment, like about three quarters of the way through, where there's just that tonal shift in it. Mm. And it's just like chills right there. I mean,
oh, thank you. Thank you so much. I got to figure out how to do that live. Because it's so, it's interesting being in the studio. It's a great guy named Natural who works on, he works on the, what's the show with the people with the mask singer. That's what it is.
Oh yeah. Right.
Babyface. And he's just a phenomenal producer. And he worked on that particular song in terms of the effects and everything on the voice. And it just did such a phenomenal job. And this album also had second generation producers. Like we have a father, daughter, Aaron Lindsay and Kennedy Lindsay, wow, who worked on it. And then we also have a guy named Darren Champ Jenkins. His father did my demo for Columbia Records and did songs. And it's, so it's, this has been such an amazing, amazing project as it's come together. But a lot of it, they push me, the young folks, they push me outside of my little comfort zone. And I just listen back. And if it sounds like it's, I believe it, that's when it's okay to go on the project.
Oh yeah, for sure. I mean, and you know, I mean, everything that I've heard, you were selling it. And oh, and again, I mean, I just love your voice, and it's so,
thank you.
It's so nice to be able to just hear new music from you. I mean, 4 years, that's a long time.
Yeah. But you know, it used to be every 2 years, yeah, I think we would do an album. I never rushed because I didn't always think that great songs were being, like that many great songs were being placed in front of me. Let me say it that way. I would hear a lot of songs that I could, you know, if I just wanted to record an album, I could run in and just do an album every year. But this one we did fairly quickly, but it was because of the connection that I have with Madison that we were able to sit down and really just come up with some great ideas that we thought would translate from my legacy to this generation.
Right. Wow. It's fantastic. Well, unfortunately, like I say, running out of time with you, but I want to give you the chance to tell all the fans how they can keep up with you, where they can find the new album.
Well, Kenny Lattimore, all encompassing. Just go to my website, kennylattimore.com. It can take you to my tour information. You can even sign up for an email if you're like, I don't want to search. I just want to know where you're going to be. I'll send you an email and I'll tell you where I'm going to be, right? And in addition to that, there are links so that you can go into the various music platforms. But if not, the music Here to Stay is on all platforms. And I'm at Instagram and Twitter at Kenny Lattimore with two T's, Lattimore. And at Facebook, if you're on the Facebook, official Kenny Lattimore. And even TikTok, oh my gosh, that's a new one for me. I haven't posted anything at TikTok, but it is official Kenny Lattimore there. I know I posted two things, that's it. But I do have that as well. So we're going to keep moving into this new generation or new part of the millennium. And I'm here to stay, to keep making music.
So that's right.
Thank you.
Well, thank you so much. I mean, lots to learn continuously, but that's just the way it works. And
yes,
and you've proven that you can handle it. But thank you so much for coming on the show. Thank you so much for being the person that you are. And I appreciate the fact that you're willing to give back and just keep going. It just means a lot. So
I so appreciate that.
Kenny Lattimore.
Have a great rest of your day.
Absolutely. I urge everyone to listen to the album. And thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot. Bye now.
Bye.
You know it's about that time. Lay it on me so heavy like the baseline. Keep me so cool like the winter. No shame, serve it up, need your dinner, babe. Like a nice breeze through them summer trees. Get a quick trip in overseas. Fresh your heart, fired up like a diamond, baby. You're my star, I go blind, cause you shine crazy. Oh. Every time you lean in, baby, I feel used.
Oh, so
perspective, yeah. Can't even wrap my head around the things you do. Do it so good, oh my. Oh my. We're a fiend for you, gotta be a crime, no lie. Take me up